I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Would you like to learn how to find the solution for your customers' problems that 90% of your competition will miss? Join our free Smashing the Plateau community, where listeners and guests of Smashing the Plateau connect, collaborate, and learn how to smash the plateau in business, work, and in life. Go to smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook to join now. That's smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook. Today, I'm pleased to welcome David Berg. Who would have thought that a passion for thinking totally differently about healthcare would lead to 520 people in a company receiving free healthcare, and that it would cost the company less than it did in 2002? Dr. David Berg is co-founder and chairman of the board for Redirect Health, a leader in the development of efficient and affordable healthcare delivery systems. David is a visionary, and he leads with a focus on the experience of the customer. After witnessing evolutions in the industry significantly contributing to rising costs and poorer outcomes, he pioneered a new model that systematically eliminates healthcare waste, unnecessary administration, and confusion. In 2013, Redirect Health was launched to provide a packaged solution for business owners who needed a way to attract the teams they need to grow their companies and to further their missions. Companies in 40 states are now doing exactly this because of Redirect Health. David, welcome to the show.
Hi, David.
Hi. So, you know, healthcare is a huge issue, particularly for business owners. I'm really curious to hear a little bit about how you ended up in this particular niche.
Gosh, I have to go way back to the days when I was thinking I wanted to be an engineer, or I loved physics and computer science, and I met a pretty girl who was doing pre-med at the University of Toronto. And 3 weeks later, I switched all my courses over to pre-med to be in her classes. And then 4 years later, I had no choice but to go into healthcare. And that's a true story, by the way.
It's a great story.
We're just about to celebrate our 30th year of marriage, but that is how I got into healthcare. I can tell you that before I finished my degree, I was wondering whether I really wanted to be in healthcare. And over time, I fell in love with it. I wish I could tell you I had a more planned out pathway to getting into healthcare, but it really was following a pretty girl who smiled at me when I was 18, 19 years old.
That sounds great. So now let's talk about what you do now in healthcare, which sounds like a pretty unique niche and one that's badly needed.
Yeah. So my wife, Janice, she's a family physician. We moved to Phoenix, Arizona in 1995 from Canada, from Toronto. We had a pretty good sense of what affordable healthcare looked like in Canada, but it's very hard there, not at all easy. And we moved to the United States. We saw this potential to make healthcare easy and affordable. We'd already experienced affordable, but the United States had a lot of ways to make it easy. So right out of the gate, when we started practicing together and building our business together, 1995, it might have been 1997 before we went out on our own, we were thinking about easy and affordable healthcare, but for families at that time. When it got to about 2006, we built up a really nice company, and we were doing really well. Our margins were, I'm told, four times better than the industry, and we were doing great. And then we got hit with an unexpected surprise. It was a vulnerability in our company that we did not expect. I'd been going through, I'd enlisted Dan Sullivan, a strategic coach program, for about 5 years before that. And his principles just helped me compete in that industry so well. And we were, that is the main reason why we had margins where we had them at four times the industry approximately. But the one thing I did not anticipate was how much I relied on really friendly, smiley, customer experience oriented people at every stage, from billing to reception to phones to professionals in my organization. And when the labor market tightened in 2005, and at the same time, health insurance rates crested $1,000 deductibles and my people couldn't afford it, I found that my margins went back to normal. And so my assessment at the time was, I better figure out this healthcare problem. And I knew I couldn't compete with the big companies, big corporations who were taking my employees because they could afford lower deductibles. So I figured out a way to compete with healthcare, which I knew very well, because that was the business we were in. And we created this strategy for ourselves that made healthcare really easy and affordable, at least the first 90% of it, the routine stuff for my own employees and their families. And we competed excellently, better than we ever did before, for the best talent on our teams. And I never intended to share it with anybody and to just a solution for ourselves. And then the recession hit, and I had a lot of my friends in Entrepreneurs Organization, then was called Young Entrepreneurs Organization. We all got older and we changed the name of it. But hundreds of friends who were struggling with the recession. And as people were laying off employees, the insurance companies were also increasing premiums 20-30% per year. That's when that all started during the recession. I was not affected by that because I'd already made these changes 2 years earlier. And I had a lot of my friends coming to me asking for help. So that forced me to create a system and write it down for the first time and to actually hand it off to my assistant at the time to help my friends deploy these strategies in their own companies. And what we learned was that it worked 100% of the time. Every time, instead of a 30% increase, they got a 20% decrease. And we're like, wow, that's kind of amazing. Fast forward 4 or 5 years, chairman of my board, Paul Johnson, who's a former mayor of Phoenix and a dear friend of mine and Janice's, he saw what we were doing and how we were helping our friends, and we helped his family and him and his company through the recession and through the Affordable Care Act confusion with our strategy. He convinced me that we need to start a new business and spin off this solution. And that's where Redirect Health was born. And we've been doing it for 4 years now, 3 years, going on four, and we're in 40 states now. And it's the same strategy we use for ourselves. Now we've refined it and automated it, and it works really well. And there's a lot of common sense to it, but it's really about putting together all the components in a very efficient way to create a synergy that works. And when I explain it to people in detail, everyone says, wow, that has to work. But then it becomes an execution issue. Can you really execute?
Yeah, execution is usually the key. So what kinds of companies can benefit from the solutions you offer?
Well, again, I built.
Does it make any difference what size they are?
Not so much size, David, but it does come down to mindset. So for industries or companies that believe the existing healthcare insurance model of healthcare can work, that fruit is way up on the tree. There's so much fruit that's riper before that. There are so many businesses and industries that know the system does not work. They already know it. So for instance, I'll just give you some stats. I won't bore you with, hopefully, but if you take the American workforce and you draw the 51% line, that wage is $15 an hour. And that's the high number. Everybody under that makes less. And that's according to the Social Security Administration stats, 2015. So it's recent stats. $15 an hour or less is 51% of the people. 38% of the people make $10 an hour or less. Now, so keep that in mind when I'm putting this solution in place. If you look at the median, meaning 51% of families aged 20 to 40, their savings is $480 is their total savings. That's a 51% line. And then everyone under that is less. So the 51% line is $15 an hour and $480 in savings. How on earth is even a great insurance product with a $1,000 deductible going to work for them? And much less a $6,000 deductible. It has no chance to work for that bottom half. And now you look at the industries that employ those people. It's going to be things like construction, restaurant, franchises, fast food, agriculture, security companies, landscaping companies, hospitality. Go outside and the majority of the people you're going to meet, just say, do they make less than $15 an hour or $15 an hour? And you know they're in that half of the country. And if you look at the stats that show that people are living paycheck to paycheck with no savings, it lines up with those stats as well. So any industries like that really need this solution because they already know the system doesn't work. David, and everyone's got some system that wouldn't work for them. So I'll give you an example. I'm going to guess that if I gave you a jet airplane and I said, David, now fly to my house, you cannot execute. That jet airplane is useless to you because you probably can't afford the fuel, the parking, the pilot, and you don't know how to do it. It's too hard. So the jet airplane I could give you is useless to you. But if I gave it to Warren Buffett, he might even say thank you. Right. So the same thing with a $6,000 high deductible insurance policy. And that's all we're talking about right now in our Congress and in our media is about insurance. Well, you could give half the country insurance and they can't use it. So it's not so much about the size of companies. It's really about those companies that employ people and they know the existing insurance model can never work for them. And that is my business, too. In healthcare, easily 2/3 of my employees are in that $15 an hour range. Not too many less than that, but around the $15 range. And so the normal healthcare system driven by insurance cannot work for them. I could give it to them. They might have a little peace of mind, but when they go to use it, it's kind of useless to them for the most part.
So what is the solution?
The solution is to separate the healthcare from the insurance first as a first move. And we're not used to doing that. We're used to starting with insurance first, right? So think about if you break your leg or think you hurt your leg, you might be broken and you go to the hospital or your doctor. What's the first thing you're going to do? Show your insurance card. And before you even hurt yourself, you're going to buy insurance. The mindset you might have is insurance has to happen first before I get healthcare. We separate the healthcare from the insurance and we figure out how are we going to get the healthcare, the routine stuff first, and then we figure out how we're going to get the non-routine stuff, which is only about 10% or less of the volume. And then we figure out how to get the fair price for that more expensive stuff, the real price. And then we figure out how to pay for it last. Mm-hmm. And the insurance is just one way to pay for healthcare. It's not the only way, and it happens to be the most expensive way to pay for it. A lot of people don't know that. And when you start with the insurance model and put insurance first, you're always going to pay more money than if you start with healthcare first and use the insurance on the back end only when you need it. And there are many, many ways to pay for healthcare besides insurance, including hundreds and hundreds of programs around the country, public ones, private ones, federal, state. I mean, every drug company has a program to help people who can't afford the really expensive drugs. They're hard to tap into. We've just over the last 11 years, we've learned how to tap into them and we connect people with a better way to pay for the care they need.
So for people who are in the pool that you've just described, where the insurance-based model just doesn't work for them, what's the first thing they need to do?
So it's a lot. I don't have a super easy solution for individuals. The solution we've been focusing on is for small, medium-sized businesses. Mm-hmm. So the first thing a small, medium-sized business needs to do, which an individual cannot do on their own, and this is what makes a business super hyper competitive if they do this, because the general public can't do it except through them, is they have to get out of the state insurance rules. Any business that stays within the state insurance rules is going to pay too much money. And that's going to get a ton of insurance companies and brokers and hospitals and the people in the industry, including people that even work for me, maybe the status quo. They're not going to like that message. You have to get out of the state rules if you want to have your healthcare working optimally the way we've got it working. And if you want to pay the real prices and if you want to pay the right amount and you want to make it work. And so the federal government is ERISA. And I don't even remember what that stands for, employee retirement insurance, something. But get out of the state rules, get into the federal rules, and become self-insured under the ERISA laws. That's the very, very first move. Mm-hmm. And then put a healthcare plan in place under the ERISA rules, and then add on the appropriate types of insurances that make sense after the fact. It's kind of like think about using the ERISA rules to create the plumbing of your healthcare where all the data resides so you have complete control of it. And then add the insurance, add the fixtures, right? The plumbing is the healthcare. Now add the insurance as a fixture. Next year, add a different insurance if you want, but let all the data stay with the plumbing, if you will, your company. So some key strategies are very, very important. Now, anyone can do this, and all the big companies, David, that I'm telling you, they already do this. All we've done is we have figured out how to help smaller companies do what all the big companies are already doing today. No big corporation is going to stay within the state laws. They all go to ERISA, the federal laws, because that's the only thing that makes sense for them. What we've done then to make the small, medium-sized businesses able to do that is we've also created a day-to-day operational structure that we run, and we create a subscription of $105 a month per person, $300 for the entire family, where we run it every single day, and we collect data in a very unique way so that we can anticipate healthcare needs before they happen. But we also use data to anticipate the obstacles that are going to get in the way of those needs being met. And those obstacles, so a healthcare need, for instance, would be, let me give an example. Let's say that that you work in a car wash and you make $10 an hour. Let's just make that assumption.
Right.
You've got a little girl, 4 years old, who's got asthma. Right. Let's not like play the data game here. So I know that your little girl has asthma, and I know she's going to need an $80 asthma inhaler, maybe once a month. And I know that when you run out of that asthma inhaler, you're going to have to need to use the emergency room once or twice a year. So I can anticipate the emergency room once or twice a year, and I anticipate the $80 inhalers once a month. So let's look at the obstacles that are going to likely get in your way. They're going to be around money, because you make $10 an hour. Probably you've got multiple jobs, so time's going to be a factor. I'm going to guess you share a car somewhere with your wife or somebody else in your family. You probably have shared daycare responsibilities. You're probably not used to using the system, so it'll seem very confusing to you. These are all real obstacles that we collect in the data. So we match up those obstacles with your need, asthma inhaler in this example, and emergency room once, twice a year. And we say, okay, let's focus on the obstacles. What's a strategy that we can deploy that's low cost and obvious and will engage you so we get rid of the obstacles and then get rid of the need? Well, in this one example, our go-to would be, we're going to teach you how to get your asthma inhalers through mail order to Canada, where instead of $80 each, they're $14, $15 each. And then we're going to get you to buy five of them. And we're going to help you attach one to your little girl's backpack. We're going to help you put one in the glove compartment, in your wife's purse, the daycare, wherever the daycare is happening. Next year, it'll be the teacher's desk. When she's five, we're going to just spread those asthma inhalers that are $14, $15, $16 around your little girl's life. And we're going to cast the vision that this year, let's not use the emergency room. So you can see what I did there is I strategically removed the need for an $80 asthma inhaler and replaced it with five $14 ones, equivalent asthma inhalers. And now you get five instead of one. So you no longer do you ever purchase $80 asthma inhalers again. They just multiply that by zero. And then replace it with $14 times five. But I also eliminated the need for the $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 emergency room visit once, twice a year. Just eliminate it. That's a key strategy that only happens if I have the data in real time. And that's what our insurance models don't do. The data that we collect for insurance is really about how do I, as an insurance company, with a fiduciary to my shareholders only, use your data to make sure that my pricing next year is a little bit less than my competitors so you stay with me. If you just play it out.
Right. And stay profitable.
And the insurance companies aren't worried about staying profitable. Oh my gosh. The best sector since the Affordable Care Act started in the world is American insurance companies, health insurance companies. Matter of fact, go check it. I mean, it's all public knowledge. It's one thing you can't hide is your share price, right? It's obvious. You'll see companies that were $17 share price right when Obamacare started, and today they're $200. 17 to 200. Think of that for a second. In the middle of the Affordable Care Act, when everyone's complaining it doesn't work, I'm telling you, David, it works for somebody, right? And it works for that industry really, really well.
Everything always does work for somebody.
Right. It just doesn't happen to work for me as a small, medium-sized business owner. It doesn't work. But it didn't work in 2007 either. It just works less now. But there's a huge narrative, and there's a lot of advertising. And in Congress, we talk about if only we had more insurance, it would work. If only insurance was more affordable, it would work. I happen to not believe that statement. I believe that's a false narrative. But if I had shareholders and I had billions of dollars every year, hundreds of billions of dollars every year in revenue, I'd be creating that same story. So I totally get it. I don't hold it against them at all. I understand it. They're fiduciary bylaws to their shareholder. If price gouging and unfair prices are not illegal, they now become mandatory in a sense if my fiduciary is to my shareholders.
Absolutely.
So I just want to get out of that game. It's kind of like Vegas, you know. There's two mindsets. Some people go to Vegas and they say, you know, the best odds, look at all the options. The best odds are roulette. I'm making that up. I don't know. So I'm smart because I'm only going to play roulette. Some people have that mindset. They pick the best option, even though they all lose. My mindset is, dang, I lose at all those options. How about I'm going to go play golf instead? Right? I'm just not going to play that game. So same thing. When I look at the insurance model of healthcare, I can't see a way where I win as a small, medium-sized business. I see zero way that I win. So I've just created a solution where I don't have to play anymore. And the way to not play is to go under the ERISA rules, create a self-funded, self-insurance structure that makes a lot of sense for my company and my team and our families. Then we figure out how to get healthcare for everyone, from whether it's a physical for my receptionist's son, or if my kid gets cancer, heaven forbid, everywhere in between. Let's make sure all the healthcare happens in a high quality, fast, expedient way. But then let's make sure we only pay the real prices. And I will tell you that even though, let's take a baby, for example, a hospital might charge $30,000 for a baby to be born, and the insurance companies will negotiate it $15,000 discount, I know the real price is only $5,000 around the country. The real price is always less than the insurance negotiated price now. That was probably a third the time that was true 10 years ago. Now it's pretty close to 100%. So I know the real price is $5,000. And I also know that there are assistance programs that will help people don't make money, don't have the income or the savings, that will help them pay that $5,000. I really don't need insurance for a baby. And if somebody has cancer, which will be more expensive, I know that if I use insurance, the cost could be $100,000, maybe $150,000. I know the real price for taking care of cancer, because I've done it for 10 years with our people, is I've never spent more than $38,000 in a year. So the real price is always a little different than the, it's always less today. And especially if you're strategic, know your way around it. And I don't want to imply that anybody could do what I'm doing, because I do appreciate that I've got 10 years of refining this and 20 years before that of thinking about it and knowledge. But it's really about getting the care people need, getting them the real price, and then paying for it in the most efficient way. The real price in the most efficient way. Insurance might be one of those solutions, but it's the last place we go, not the first.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a remarkable shift on all sorts of levels. I hope you're enjoying our show today. Would you like to learn how to find the solution for your customers' problems that 90% of your competition will miss? We're featuring a bonus episode with today's guest, David Berg, co-founder and chairman of the board of Redirect Health, where he shares some of the steps he's taken to scale his business. Join our free Smashing the Plateau community, where you can listen to this bonus episode. Go to smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook to join now. That's smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook. David, congratulations on what you've built and what you've achieved. It's really been pretty remarkable. And I wondered if we could now turn and talk about somebody else who's remarkable. And whom do you know personally who has done a remarkable job of smashing the plateau?
Well, my wife, Janice, she's been along the whole way. So it's not just one plateau. I mean, I think that would be an accurate way of stating it. It's been many of them, and some are bigger than others. But my wife, Janice, and my partner and great friend, Paul Johnson, who used to be mayor of Phoenix and still is chairman of my other company, and he's CEO of Redirect Health. It's been a team approach to breaking these plateaus. So definitely them. But somebody else that comes to mind is somebody who's become a really good friend, and probably because we think so similarly on so many different things, is Cameron Harold. And Cameron has created a company called COO Alliance. And there are a lot of programs out there, lots of them, mastermind programs, coaching programs, peer groups, accountability groups for the first in commands, the CEOs, the founders, the entrepreneurs. He saw a hole in the industry for the second in commands, and hence the name COO Alliance. You know, I'd never thought of it before, and he was the COO of 1-800-GOT-JUNK and some other companies. So that's the world he came out of. And he's done a lot of coaching for CEOs, but he started this new company to focus on the COOs, chief operating officers, who could support the entrepreneur or the first in command. And I think it's a brilliant idea. It's out of the box. And I just see his excitement go up. And my COO is part of his group. And I've seen just remarkable things. I would definitely put Cameron in that category. Two other people I've seen are Dan Sullivan, for sure. I've been with Dan as a personal coach and mentor, strategic coach for 17, 18 years now. And I've seen him change. And just the plateaus he's gone through as he's taught us to look for. He doesn't call them plateaus. He refers to a concept of ceiling of complexity. And that's when you just can't go any further with your same type of thinking. And the breakthrough happens because of a different way of thinking, not because of thinking the same way in a more efficient way. It's about a totally different way of thinking. I've seen Dan do that with his own company and his own and personally. And I've seen so many people in the strategic coach program do exactly the same thing. And one thing that I would, it took me a while to get used to this because I always thought it was like one big breakthrough. And what I've seen is it's many small breakthroughs before there is a big breakthrough. But that big breakthrough often is on the back of 5, 6, 10, 2 other little tiny breakthroughs that just make it possible. And it's about the learning that happens with each small breakthrough that allows the big one.
Absolutely. Yeah. People notice the big ones, and the big ones are the ones that get the press. What they don't realize is that there are a lot of small steps along the way. And you're right, there are other smaller breakthroughs that happen all along the way that build into something that becomes noticeable to everybody. And I echo what you just described about Cameron and Dan. They've both been guests on Smashing the Plateau.
Oh, have
what
they?
They're doing
That's
is
awesome.
Remarkable. And I can also tell you as a former COO that Cameron is tapping into something that is badly needed.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited for him. I'm not going to go into the details because I don't know what I have some inside knowledge into his future plans. And David, I'm telling you, they're big, they're exciting, they're needed. He's defined the problem so clearly. And again, I'm not going to jump into it. I'm just going to create a little intrigue. So you have to ask him because I know I've got some Cameron and I both use Dan Sullivan as our coach. And we were in just a recent workshop together. And so I heard a lot about his plans and I'm excited for him. I mean,
yeah, I am too. I am too. I think it's really great. And I'm excited for you. What you've done is terrific. And I'm glad that you took the time today to come on Smashing the Plateau and describe exactly what your business is doing and also your own thinking that has led you to create it the way you've created it. Because I think it's an eye-opener for a lot of people. So thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, my guest today has been David Berg, the co-founder and chairman of the board of Redirect Health. So thank you again, David, for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau. I hope you've enjoyed our discussion today. Would you like to learn how to find the solution for your customers' problems that 90% of your competition will miss? We're featuring a bonus episode with today's guest, David Berg, co-founder and chairman of the board of Redirect Health, where he shares some of the steps he's taken to scale his business. Join our free Smashing the Plateau community where you can listen to this bonus episode. Go to smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook to join now. That's smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook. The Smashing the Plateau community is the place where listeners and guests of Smashing the Plateau connect, collaborate, and learn how to smash the plateau in business, work, and in life.